Welcome back to the Mind Machine Chronicles, the show where we try to wrap our heads around the biggest ideas shaping our world. And today, we're diving headfirst into the world of computer simulation.
We've got a fascinating article here, Computer Simulation and the Philosophy of Science, and trust me, it's a real head-scratcher.
Oh, I bet.
So get ready to explore how these virtual worlds, these mind machines, as we like to call them, are changing everything from how we understand the universe to how we design the cities of tomorrow.
It's amazing how pervasive simulation has become, isn't it?
Absolutely. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's start with the basics. What exactly is computer simulation? I mean, imagine you're trying to predict something as wild and unpredictable as the weather, right? You've got wind, temperature, pressure, a million factors all swirling around.
Right. It would be impossible to keep track of it all on paper.
Exactly. So how do we even begin to make sense of something that complex?
Well, that's where computer simulation comes in. Instead of trying to solve those mind-boggling equations by hand, we turn to the power of computers.
Makes sense. Let the machines do the heavy lifting. But how does that actually work?
We create algorithms. Think of them as step-by-step instructions for the computer to follow. These algorithms allow computers to simulate how these complex systems, like our weather patterns, might behave over time.
So it's kind of like creating a virtual laboratory where we can recreate a hurricane or a heat wave, press fast forward, rewind, and see what happens.
Precisely. And the beauty of it is we can run these simulations over and over again, tweaking different variables each time. It's like having a time machine for natural phenomena. Take climate change, for instance.
Okay, yeah. Climate change is a great example. It's such a complex issue with so many factors at play.
Exactly. With computer simulations, we can explore the potential impact of various factors, like greenhouse gas emissions, deforestation, even volcanic eruptions. And we can see how those factors might influence our climate decades, even centuries into the future. It's incredible.
It really is like having a crystal ball for the planet. But that brings up another question. How do we know these simulations are accurate? I mean, we're talking about making some pretty important decisions based on these virtual tests.
You're absolutely right. That's where the rubber really meets the road.
We don't want to be steering the ship in the wrong direction based on faulty data.
Exactly. That's where we get into the critical concepts of verification and validation. Think of it like building a house.
Okay, I like this analogy. So where does verification fit in?
Verification is like checking your blueprint, making sure all the calculations are correct, and the design is structurally sound before you even lay a single brick. You'd want to make sure the foundation can handle the load-bearing walls, right?
Right. So in the world of simulation, is verification like making sure the computer is accurately solving the equations we feed into it?
Spot on. It's about ensuring the computer is doing its math correctly and that there are no bugs or glitches in the program that could skew the results.
Okay, so that's verification. What about validation? How do we make sure the simulation is actually reflecting the real world, not just spitting out numbers?
So validation is like inspecting the finished house. You've checked the blueprints, verification, but now you're walking through the house, making sure the walls are straight, the plumbing works, and the roof doesn't leak.
Okay, I'm with you. So how do we inspect a simulation? We can't exactly walk through it.
You're right about that. With validation, we take the simulation's results and compare them to real-world data. We're looking for those reassuring parallels that tell us, okay, this virtual world is mirroring reality pretty darn well.
So it's a two-pronged approach then. We need to make sure the math is right, that the computer is doing its job correctly, but also that we're applying that math to a model that accurately reflects the complexities of the real world.
Absolutely. And it's an ongoing process. We're constantly refining our models, gathering more data, and making sure our simulations are as accurate and reliable as possible.
It's a constant dance between the virtual and the real, the theoretical and the practical.
You got it. And it's this dance that allows us to push the boundaries of knowledge and gain a deeper understanding of the world around us.
It really makes you appreciate the incredible complexity of the systems we're trying to understand.
It really does. And the thing is, this whole discussion about verification and validation, it leads to a bigger philosophical question about the nature of simulation itself.
Ooh, okay, I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
So are computer simulations just really, really advanced experiments, or are they something else entirely?
That's an interesting question. I'll admit I'm having a little trouble wrapping my head around the difference.
Yeah, and it's something scientists and philosophers are still debating. Some argue that simulations are essentially experiments, just conducted in a virtual space. You're still manipulating variables, observing outcomes, the basic building blocks of scientific inquiry.
So where does the something else entirely camp come in?
Well, they argue that simulations can go beyond what's possible in a traditional lab setting. We can simulate things that are too large, too small, too fast, too slow, too dangerous, you name it. We're not bound by the same limitations of the physical world.
That's a good point. I mean, we can't exactly create a black hole in a lab to study it, but we can simulate one on a computer, right?
Exactly. But there's another layer to this. It's not just about scale or practicality. It's also about the relationship between the simulation and the thing it's simulating. Let me give you an example. Imagine a simulation running on a silicon chip, a computer chip, just like the ones in our phones and laptops. And that simulation is designed to model a silicon chip.
Whoa. That's kind of trippy when you think about it. A simulation running on the very thing it's simulating. That's getting pretty meta, isn't it?
It is. And it gets to the heart of this debate. If a simulation is running on the same kind of hardware it's modeling, does that change how we interpret the results? Is it still a simulation if it's running on the real thing?
That's a mind-bending question. I mean, it really makes you question what we mean by real versus simulated in the first place.
Right. It's a bit of a philosophical rabbit hole. But it has real implications for how we use and interpret simulations.
So, what's the takeaway here? Is there a right answer to this debate?
There might not be a single right answer, but I think the debate itself is incredibly valuable. It forces us to think critically about the tools we're using, to acknowledge their limitations, and to approach our findings with a healthy dose of skepticism. But more than anything, I think this discussion highlights just how powerful and versatile computer simulation really is.
It's clearly about so much more than just making predictions. It's a tool for exploration, for testing our understanding of how the world works, even for challenging our very definitions of reality.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's a tool that allows us to step outside the boundaries of our everyday experience and explore the universe in ways we never thought possible.
Like having a portal to infinite possibilities. And that's what makes this whole field so exciting, right? We're really just scratching the surface of what's possible with computer simulation.
100%. And as our computing power continues to grow, so too will our ability to create even more complex and sophisticated simulations. Who knows what incredible insights we'll uncover in the years to come? It really is an exciting time to be working in this field. So much potential for groundbreaking discoveries just waiting to be unlocked.
It's like we're standing on the edge of a whole new frontier of knowledge. But as we venture into this uncharted territory of virtual worlds and simulated realities, what's the most important thing you want our listeners to remember about computer simulation?
That's a great question. I'd say at its core, computer simulation is a tool. Because like a telescope allows us to see distant galaxies, or a microscope reveals the hidden world of microorganisms, simulations give us a powerful lens through which we can view and understand the world around us.
It's like we're building these giant virtual sandboxes where we can experiment, play around with different scenarios, and test our theories in ways that wouldn't be possible in the real world.
That's a great way to put it. And the beauty of this tool is that it's constantly evolving. As our understanding of the world grows, so too does the sophistication and power of our simulations.
It's like a never-ending feedback loop, pushing the boundaries of what we know and what's possible.
Exactly. And that's what makes this whole field so incredibly exciting, isn't it? There's always something new to discover, always another layer to peel back.
It's definitely a mind-expanding journey. Well, I think we've given our listeners a lot to chew on today. But before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something you said earlier about simulations being a tool. Like any tool, it's important to use it responsibly and to be aware of its limitations, right?
Absolutely. Simulations are incredibly powerful, but they're not magic. We have to remember that they're based on our current understanding of the world, which is always evolving.
So a healthy dose of skepticism is always a good thing. We can't just blindly accept the result of a simulation without questioning the assumptions and data that went into it.
You hit the nail on the head. We need to approach simulations with a critical eye, always looking for ways to improve our models and refine our understanding. But at the same time, we shouldn't be afraid to embrace the incredible potential of this technology.
It's all about finding that balance, right? Embracing the possibilities while acknowledging the limitations.
Exactly. And I think if we can strike that balance, there's no limit to what we can achieve with computer simulation. It has the potential to revolutionize countless fields, from medicine to engineering to economics.
It's an exciting time to be alive and witnessing this technological revolution unfold.
It certainly is. And who knows, maybe one day we'll look back on these early days of simulation with the same sense of wonder that we now view the early days of flight or space exploration.
It's a tantalizing thought. Well, on that note, it's time for us to step out of the virtual world and back into reality, for now. That's it for this deep dive into the Mind Machine Chronicles. Until next time, keep those minds curious, and we'll see you in the next simulation.